Open House, a property podcast focusing on the Geelong market, brought to you by Geelong Real Estate Co and Ricky Fort. If you're looking to buy or sell your next home, contact Ricky Fort at Geelong Real Estate Co. And GSE Finance, Matt Turner and the team at GSE Finance. If you need to refinance in this current interest rate climate, contact Matt Turner at GSE Finance. Ricky, welcome back to the show. I think is this a new Prime Minister for our show today?
We've been sporadic, to say the least.
One of us had the spicy cough, didn't they?
Was it you or me? I did have the spicy cough, and it knocked me for six. I'm hopeless. So,
yeah, you lost your hair.
Yes, very funny, Damien. That's good. Facebook was just alive with banter. So, thanks for that. It was great.
What's been happening in the last few weeks? Obviously, as we mentioned, Anthony Albanese, the new Prime Minister, from a first home buyer's point of view, it's a change of policy there. I'm not sure how much research you've done into it, but obviously ScoMo was pitching for first home buyers to tap into their super to put towards a deposit. Albanese's got in and they're going for a shared equity scheme where people on low incomes under 90,000, I think it is, can contribute a 2% deposit, and the government will contribute up to 30% for established homes, which removes LMI. But we tend to see with these first homeowner schemes, it can sort of jolt the market and click it into gear.
It's interesting. I don't really understand the objectives, hence why I'm in real estate, not in politics. But the whole idea being around slowing down inflation and then it's hard to keep up with all the stuff that they're introducing. But I have already seen one of those buyers come through. We've sold someone using that scheme, just last week or the week before. Right. So it's in full effect, and we're seeing that. But at the moment, as you probably you're a journo, mate, you know how the news is at the moment. It's overwhelmingly negative around the real estate market, interest rate rises, just the economy in general. So buyers of any description, any shape or size, we're excited to see them.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about the sentiment in the market. As you said, interest rates have risen pretty sharply the last couple of weeks, and that is, well, it appears it's perhaps putting a little bit of fear in the market.
Oh, definitely. And it's no different to the start of coronavirus when obviously that first hit Australian shores. People are just nervous. Where by trade, I think essentially sheep, it's just a pack mentality. When the market's booming, everyone's happy to overpay. And it's like a pizza shop. You know, if there's a line out the front, you know it's good. But we're seeing that with the market. Just that, my friend said now's not the right time to buy. So we won't. Yeah, ultimately, I think it just comes down to what's in the news on the day. So if you get a couple of days of, the journo's not quite pushing as hard how much duress the market's under, it seems to be okay. But yeah, it's interesting times.
There was a perception that as we got closer to the election, auction clearance rates would drop a little bit and people would wait to see who the new government is, but the auction clearance rates haven't picked up since. I know Geelong doesn't have a lot of stats on auction clearance rates, but Melbourne-wise, tell us how have the auction clearance rates sort of moved from, say, February to now?
You're the data man. I love that about you, Damien. You've come prepared. You make me look good. But essentially, yeah, so from Feb through to now, so 70%, 66%, 58%, and now 54%. So again, I'm not a politician, but I don't really think the political landscape had that much to do with it. I think it's just all the other pressures that we've been under for such a long time starting to compound now. So I've said it in a lot of shows, now's the time to make sure you pick the right agent that has got the skill set and there's some honesty and integrity there. Because days on market are starting to blow out, and yeah, that's again a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If properties aren't priced correctly going to market now, with the fear of loss just not necessarily in the market like it was, it just creates an oversupply, and there's just multiple issues starting to build.
So February 19, that weekend, there was a 70% clearance rate. We got to May, which was around the auction around the election, sorry, and that was around 58%. But the latest data from Melbourne the weekend was 54%. So certainly no rebound there. And what about from a vendor's perspective? Are we seeing vendors not with the willingness to sell either, or are properties still coming to market in normal numbers?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think so for ages, like for the last 6 months, there's probably been less supply than ever. Just people are just so reluctant to come to market. They're just, for ages, people were saying, oh, we'll just wait and see. I think a lot of people had optimism that the election was actually going to change the landscape, and that the real estate market would all of a sudden get more competitive, and auction clearance rates would rise and things like that. But obviously that hasn't transpired. So now the conversations that we're having are a bit more around, look, and this is the conversations I'm having at the dining table all the time, but I had the property for 6 or 7 years, had like, you know, almost doubled in value in 7 years. Yes, the market's slowed slightly and is coming back, you know, 1, 2, 3, whatever percentage it is. But overall, you know, essentially doubled in value. So there's still profits to be had. It's just those vendors that are slow to get their head around that, you know, potentially the capital growth that they've been seeing for the last few years isn't going to continue.
Interesting data from CoreLogic last week. So Melbourne's property market, property prices dropped 1.8% in the 3 months to June. Regional Victoria, though, grew 1.2%. So there still seems to be that move out of Melbourne to the region. Not as high as the 7.1% growth in a quarter that Regional Victoria had. I think that was the first quarter of 2021. So we're clearly come off that. But I think if there is low supply, that is keeping prices fairly steady.
Yeah, I agree. And just there's a heap of little factors like that. But also, you know, I've been saying for a long time, we haven't really had immigration or any new money into Australia for 3 years. So, yeah, I don't think we're seeing the full effects of the interest rate rises and that sort of stuff, because there is still a genuine demand, albeit obviously smaller, but it's still genuine.
And so I'm guessing you're having conversations with vendors to temper their expectations with prices, that valuations from 12 months ago might have come off a little bit since then.
That 12 months is probably the perfect sweet spot, because it's if they had a valuation 12 months ago, it's probably worth the same, because, you know, over the last 6 months of last year, obviously you probably still saw like a little bit of growth, and then this year it's probably that same growth that they saw over that 6 months has kind of pulled back. So I heard a thing on a Josh Fegan, he's a real estate trainer I was listening to the other day, and he was basically just saying that unless you've bought or sold in the last 12 or 18 months, you've got nothing to worry about. There's still, you know, there are probably some people who've bought like super recently, you've got a little bit of negative equity in their property, but again, that's such a small percentage of the market overall.
Yeah, and we had, at the start of the year, we had our crystal ball predictions, and one of mine was that properties that needed a bit of work would be harder to sell. It appears like that's coming to fruition, that the compounding factor of materials and that going up, and the labor shortage, there's fear for people wanting to take on renovation projects.
100%, and that's I said it a while ago, you jinxed us, and it's stuck. It's absolutely stuck. Just, yeah, as you said, material shortages, can't get tradies, and just, yeah, the fear of the economy and things like that. So I said it on the last show too, I still think that's the undisputed best area. If you're looking for opportunity, even the builders and that I'm speaking to at the moment who used to potentially, like, you know, back in the day, 2, 3, 4 years ago, they'd have their normal 9-to-5 job, but they'd be renovating a project for themselves on the side. And obviously all those builders got out of that because the profit margin was just gone. Everyone was a developer, everyone was a flipper. Yep. But yeah, Mark Dolder, a guy who's been doing a bit of work for me recently, like just said, you know, he's looking at getting back into it, because now, yeah, those properties like that one on MacKillop Street that we've got, the one we've got one opposite McDonald's on Autumn Street, just up the road from me. The unrenovated stuff, again, I think it's cooled off to a point now where it just makes sense to get back in.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back after the break with a couple of questions from Instagram and have a look at some census data and celebrate Geelong Real Estate Co's 1 year birthday.
Open House is proudly supported by Matt Turner and the team at GSC Finance Solutions, Geelong's premier independent mortgage brokers. Whether it be refinancing, purchasing your first home, next home, or an investment, the team at GSC Finance are specialists in making your dream a reality. For all listeners of Open House, the GSC team will chip in $500 for conveyancing on your next purchase. Call Matt on 0427 026 558 or follow Matt on Instagram at Geelong Broker to discuss how we can help your dreams come true through property.
Welcome back to Open House. Now, we did have someone take a bite at the question. I posted a photo of Ricky when he had hair about 8 years ago. No one's asked what happened to your hair, but we'll blame COVID, Ricky. You blame fatherhood, but we'll blame COVID.
I've gone the Gary Abbott look. More people need to get around it.
Kylie E. Robbo asks the question, where do you suggest a client who comes to you with an open checkbook as to where to buy? We're thinking of buying into an investment and then retiring. We're a couple in our late 40s. So,
yep.
Open checkbook.
Love,
it's a nice question.
Love an open checkbook. They're welcome to call me anytime, don't mate. I would be going after something aspirational. So, obviously, if the plan's to live in it, if they've got an open checkbook, obviously, they're not necessarily worried about rental returns, because the thing is, you buy something that's predominantly suits an owner-occupier, the rental return's not going to be there, but obviously, the capital growth will. So, you know, I've always had the idea of, I'd love to add like one of those duplexes down on the waterfront, you know, the old Victorian one, something like that.
Yep.
Just something in one of your premium streets, Virginia, Laurel Bank, Austin, something that's never going out of style. That's the most sought after tightly held real estate. I think you can't go wrong with something like that. That's where I'd be putting my money.
So inner city near Eastern Beach, that's where you're thinking?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. As close to the waterfront as you can get. The CBD is obviously starting to be rejuvenated with everything that they've going on there, or as I said, in the real premium stuff, even like Volham, Roxby, those kinds of streets. Yeah, that's okay. What I'll be after.
If the and we only have limited information here, we don't know whether they need to continue to work or whatnot. But I would actually be looking at Barwon Heads, tightly held suburb, no extra land coming on there. Prices just continue to go up. It's great lifestyle, competitive. You're not going to lose buying in Barwon Heads, but that's just my take. So, couple of different opinions there. But talk to
I
us
thought
about
you would have been spruiking East Geelong, Damien. You,
I do love
East Geelong.
You're a big
fan of pumping up the value of your own house.
Yeah, I do love East Geelong. Probably that you're right. The Eastern Beach, Eastern Gardens area. It's a nice lifestyle there. You can walk along the waterfront there, pop down to the pavilion and get a coffee. And
no, but you're right, Barwon Heads, you're just going to absolutely kick ass down there. You can't go wrong.
Any suburbs at the moment that you're noticing still strong competition numbers through the doors, or there's been a drop-off? Have you got many properties through the Armstrong Creek, Mount Dunedin area?
Oh, there's a shift across the board, no doubt. But again, it's always pretty much what we just spoke about before, anything aspirational, anything that's predominantly owner-occupier areas, like, are always going to do best. Any of the above.
Interesting data coming through from the census that we all filled in last year. We haven't got all the full data, but some interesting data posted in The Guardian where you could search your suburb, and I searched Geelong just to bring some stats to the table here. So the median household income in Geelong 2006 was $865 for a household. 15 years on, that's pretty much doubled. It's now $1,542.
Over how many years?
15 years.
Yep.
So that's doubled to a median household income of $1,542. Interestingly, the mortgage, median mortgage, was $1,127 15 years ago. It's only $1,700 now. So that hasn't quite doubled. That's more like a 50% increase in the average mortgage, which perhaps tells me that people are doing well, paying off their mortgage, obviously taking advantage of interest rate, the interest rate coming down over that 15-year period, which was interesting. A median rent, like the median household income doubling, the median rent in Geelong has also doubled. So a rent back then in 2006 was about $166 for the average house. Now it's $340. That probably doesn't surprise you, Ricky.
No, it's good news for obviously the investors and people that have gotten in a few years ago.
The other thing that stood out to me for Geelong, so the average, for an average suburb, 30% of properties are rented. In Geelong, that's gone from 34.4% in 2006 to 40%. So clearly investors have come to Geelong and we have a pretty high rental stock in Geelong.
I think that's probably got something to do with areas like, and it's predominantly the new subdivision areas, I personally think, like Armstrong Creek, Mount Dunedin, you know, the estuary at Leopold, areas of Kerr Lewis, things like that, because for a while there, obviously not for a while, but the house and land package thing was just the investor's dream. Obviously, all the added perks and all the government grants over the different years, they're all different now, but that was a massive incentive and a push for a lot of investors to get into something. And it just made a lot more sense financially to go out to the suburbs, like Armstrong Creek and stuff, to do that. But I don't have the in-depth analysis or numbers, but that would have to be part of that 40%.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the census to see whether those outer suburbs are included in Geelong, because I feel like...
CBD only.
I think it might have been CBD only or inner. So yeah, maybe potentially with the high rises coming in.
There's similar story though. Like
developers that have held on rental properties and haven't sold them off yet.
I think the towers, G1, Ballarine, Jerringhap, a lot of those, have got a lot of tenancies and stuff through there. And obviously, everyone's having a crack at Airbnb now, Damo. That's obviously a way to get a strong rental return as well.
What have you made of the move in the interest rates? Because we did get as low as 0.1% at the cash rate. We were there for a while and... now we're up towards 0.65%, I think.
Yep.
Off the top of my head.
Obviously, I'm a conservatist by nature with my own stuff as well. So, like, you know, back then I was locking everything in for 2 and 3%. So, I'm probably over conservative by nature or pessimistic almost. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to be heading into... they were saying last night 6.6 or something on the news for I guess the older generation, if anyone's listening or paying 18%, wouldn't agree, because I hear that all the time, buyers coming through and saying back in our day it was obviously nowhere near what it was, but nowhere near as good as what it was also. So
I think we've had it pretty good for a long time and we've still got it pretty good now, but I think over time, over the next couple of years, that cash rate will get out towards 2.5%, which means we'll probably see mortgages more at that 5.5%, and that'll become the new norm. So it's still relatively low now, but you're right. I think it was CBA moved their fixed rate up sharply this week, and you wouldn't be looking to fix in at those prices now. You're better off holding on variable and taking advantage of offsets and... It's
different strokes for different folks. Again, I'm the wrong person to ask because I'll be locking it in even at 6%. I don't know. I think if you can afford it at the moment, you know, I remember my first house back in 2013 or something, I was paying, 7% and I was happy with that. So it's all relative, I guess.
Is this the time in the market with, I guess, a little bit of fear, but is it, how valuable is a buyer's agent in a market like this now for negotiations? Where do you see the importance of a buyer's agent in a market like this?
Yeah, definitely, because there's so much conflicting stuff in the news and people just aren't sure what to do. So they're just leaning on people that they trust. So obviously seeing guys like Tony Slack and Vicky Whittaker at a lot more properties. Because surprisingly, Damo, I'm still seeing investors out there. I would have thought they'd be running for the hills. Obviously, the you know, the share market's dropped off 10%. And, and yeah, I just thought investors would not be around. But those people who are potentially thinking of upsize, you know, they've got a couple of kids, they want to go from the three bed to the four bed or the one living to the two living, stuff like that. They're probably, that's a section of the market that we've seen drop off. But first home buyers are still around and investors are still around. So yeah, I think just people just want to lean on people that they can trust. And so yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Are you still seeing people from Melbourne getting inquiries from Melbourne?
Yes. Yep. I've never spruced the Melbourne buyers like a lot of other agents have, or the international buyers. I've said it heaps of times. Don't underestimate the Geelong buyer for knowing value and wanting the lifestyle on offer here. But the advocates do often bring Melbourne buyers with them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good.
Now, first birthday celebrations this weekend. Where can listeners get into... through the back door for the for the party?
Yeah, just got a little shindig at recess. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's more just a catch-up to thank everyone that supported me and Jess and Jacinta and Lockie and just to celebrate. Obviously, we set a lot of, you know, big goals and everything like that. So it's just a matter of, like, just taking the time to reflect and be thankful for what we've done. And obviously, yeah, set ourselves up for a big next year.
It's been a pretty big first year for you in the business. Are you happy with how it went? Did you expect to have this many staff under you at this point of your journey?
Yes and no. Yes, being that I'm, what's the word? I guess I've got big targets. I like getting after it. I don't aim low, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, it's been a blessing. But it's more about the actual people that I've gotten, that they're not just, I'm not just filling seats with anyone. I've got some, you know, some great people. Jacinta's been nominated for Victorian Trainee of the Year awards. And, you know, Jess has obviously been in real estate for like 10 years. She's actually been in it longer than I have. And, you know, bought Lockie over from, he was with a different agency. So, yeah, we're getting going. It's great.
You're advertising for someone in the rental.
Yeah, we're space. like everyone in Geelong at the moment. Like every field, I guess. Good employees are hard to come by, but we've got a position open at the moment, which we're just about to fill. I'll fill you next week. if next week for us is about for 4 weeks, but yeah, I've got a property manager in mind, so that's going to be exciting. So a fifth bum on seats here at Greco.
Great. So are you able to share any of your aspirational goals for next financial year? Today is July 1.
Yeah. So it's we're just in the middle of recapping our numbers from last year. Obviously, when I started the business, my individual goal was to sell 100 properties. Obviously, bits happened in the last 12 months. Bits happened. But I haven't achieved it personally, but as a team, with Jess and things like that, I think we're about 90 or so. So all things considered, pretty happy, but I think it sets us up. And having said that, it's still a career PB for me, or just shy actually of a career PB for me. So to go out, no safety net, no big brand name to work for, to go out and service that many customers has been great. Goals for next year, we're probably aiming for, you know, 170, 180 transactions. So that's going to come with some challenges, but you're going to see a lot more Geelong Real Estate Co boards around. We want to try and get a lot more into the auction space, because I think that's going to be important in this market for two reasons. One is so vendors feel like they've had their day in court and they can see the competition. They can peek through the blinds on auction day at the front. And just, yeah, in terms of clearance rates as well. So, yeah, big year next year for us, I think.
Good on you. I'm putting you on the spot now. Any properties on open on Saturday? Any auctions on Saturday we should get along to? What's in the pipe work?
This Saturday, I've got a couple of good ones coming up off, not off market, but coming to market in the next couple of weeks. So if anyone's listening that's open to a couple of reno projects, I've got a nice one coming up in 56 Preston Street in Geelong West. Just sold 55 a couple of weeks ago for $880. So that will be a good one. North facing block. I've got another one coming up in Cadinia Street, Belmont. People familiar with real estate over there know that's one of the better streets on that side of town. But no auctions this weekend, Damo. Just all private sale stuff.
Good on you, mate. Great to chat. Good to catch up. I'm glad the spicy cough's gone. You've got your coffee here and you've washed it down. We'll chat again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Damo.
Enjoy the birthday party on Sunday, mate.
And boo to you for not coming and your journalism work getting in the way. But no, it'll be good fun. Keep an eye out on Instagram.
Thanks, listeners.
Thanks for tuning in to Open House. We've got more coming your way. Give us a follow on Instagram at Open House Podcast and on Facebook. And please remember, all advice is general in nature. If you are looking to purchase a home or sell a home, please seek professional advice.